This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, welcome back into Bishop and Laurinaitis. We're going to head to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and link up with Josh Edwards, NFL draft writer for CBS Sports. Josh, how we doing, man? How are you?
I'm doing as well as anybody can in these times, you know, just trying to stay inside, stay sane, all that good stuff.
No doubt, man. We are making it happen. Thanks for joining us. Hope you and your family and your friends are doing well, man. We were talking in the previous segment about the Trent Williams news and what this could mean potentially for the Brownies. They have that 10th overall pick. We saw them go out and spend big money on Jack Conklin to probably make him their right tackle of the future, or at least for a short amount of time here. What do you think should happen with that 10th overall pick? Do you think they should sniff around with Trent Williams at all?
I think you have to at least entertain the idea of adding Trent Williams. I do think where it gets interesting is you start talking about possibly having three contracts the size of Jack Conklin, Joel Bitonio. J.C. Treader's, you know, getting a pretty good salary himself, and then to add Trent Williams to that, it'd be a lot of money tied up into your offensive line, even if it is kind of short-term, depending on what you do with Trent Williams. But if you sit there with the number 10 overall pick, let's say you did add Trent Williams, do you look at a Javon Kinlaw, the defensive tackle from South Carolina, Isaiah Simmons, if he's possibly still on the board? I think he would be pretty enticing considering the limitations at linebacker right now. Otherwise, I think you really have to consider trading down. I think that's an appealing option too. If you're sitting there, you don't really need an offensive tackle, and maybe a Tampa Bay is trying to get up to take one of those offensive tackles.
Yeah, and I'm wondering here, Josh, some rumors, or I don't know if they're rumors or if it was, you know, self-intended leak or whatever, but about Miami possibly wanting to trade up for Joe Burrow. So I have a twofer for you. Do you think that's even feasible, and what would be the appropriate price for the Dolphins if they really wanted Joe? What would it take to get Cincinnati to just be like, okay, yeah, we'll move back?
Well, I think you'd be negligent towards Dolphins fans if you generally believe that Joe Burrow was the number one quarterback. You needed a quarterback, and you had a lot of ammunition to possibly move up. They've got 5, 18, and I think 25 as well. So they've got pieces to possibly make it interesting for Cincinnati. But I don't think there's any possible way that you could talk Mike Brown into giving up this Ohio native, a quarterback that can kind of come in, save your franchise, be the face of the franchise in the future for a couple of first-round picks, when he's already shown he's not really willing to trade some of these other hot commodities that he's had on his roster this past year.
We're talking all things NFL draft with NFL draft writer Josh Edwards from CBS Sports. And Josh, when you look at all these other quarterbacks in the draft, we've heard so much about Tua and Joe Burrow, and rightfully so, when you look at what those guys have accomplished throughout their college careers. But the other guys like Jordan Love and some of these other names that we're hearing, and Herbert and all of that, like, who is your favorite of that crop of guys when we get past Joe Burrow and Tua?
For me, I would probably say Jordan Love, just because I do like his upside. There's moments of his game that are incredibly frustrating. We seem to see those when his team is just overmatched. Like against LSU, he really struggled, and towards the end there, he was just throwing the ball into coverage. He was being incredibly reckless with it, which you cannot do at the quarterback position. I mean, that's why Jameis Winston, who has all the talent in the world, is now looking for employment. So I think there's a lot of appealing qualities that you're looking at to possibly have a quarterback of the future. It's going to be a lot of development for any one of those guys. Justin Herbert, you can't just throw him into any scheme. It's got to be something that's best suited for him. I think the Chargers might be kind of an interesting option for him if they choose to use him, similar to what they did with Phillip Rivers. But Oregon's offense just wasn't the best suited for him. He's not the throw on the run kind of quarterback that you want to run that kind of an offense. He's not an option type guy that is going to thrive in that kind of situation. So you do have to have a situation where you're going to surround him with talent. You're going to allow him to push the ball downfield, make decisions from the pocket if he's going to have success. But Jordan Love to me is a guy that just has tremendous upside. And I think, we hear all these similarities to Patrick Mahomes, and I think those are warranted But at the same time, you know, it's the game is so mental that it doesn't matter what your athletic intangibles are. You have to be able to put it on the field and develop as a quarterback in the NFL.
Josh, when you talk, how do you view running backs when it comes to drafting them? Because as we see Todd Gurley, right, his time is over in L.A. Now he's down in Atlanta. Makes you wonder what Saquon's second deal would be like if he can stay healthy. And just how do you view the running back position? When's the earliest you would take one? Is it worth it to take one in the top five versus taking one, you know, in later rounds? And then how do you view this year's class? Who are your top three running backs for this draft?
I think it varies by situation. I don't think the idea of taking a running back early is best for everybody.
Yeah.
Like the Giants a couple of years ago, if it had been me, as much as I love Saquon Barkley, I would not have taken him. I would have taken one of the quarterbacks because you're not going to be able to win with just a running back in today's NFL. They didn't have the quarterback position solved at the time. And now we look back in hindsight, like, man, what were they thinking to take a running back over a guy like Sam Darnold? You know, it just didn't make a ton of sense then, and it doesn't make a ton of sense now. So if you're in a position where you feel really good about your roster, your quarterback is in place, you feel like you can really contend that following year, then, yeah, maybe you look to take a running back in the first round. But you can't just take a running back and then try to fill the roster in around him. It's not going to work because by the time that running back gets to the end of his rookie contract, that's when your roster starts kind of coming into place. Maybe you're looking, you know, to finally compete. But it's like, well, now we have to go pay him $12 million a year like Ezekiel Elliott. Saquon's coming due here in the next couple of years. Leonard Fournette, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, there's a ton of those guys. Your roster has to be in a good position where you can just plug and play those guys because we're seeing once you get to the end of that deal, you're going to have to give them big money, and typically they do not fulfill that big second contract. Todd Gurley is, of course, out the door already. Zeke Elliott's still a great player, but, you know, when you're trying to quantify his level of talent, is it really worth to give out that big second contract? So to me, I look for contact balance. I love a guy that's going to be able to run through contact, depending on the scheme, of course, whether you're running zone or power, that's obviously got to play into the equation as well. But for me, I always go back to Georgia's DeAndre Swift as my top running back. And then there's just kind of this conglomeration of guys that fall in behind him, whether it's Florida State's Cam Akers, Utah's Zach Moss, Ohio State's J.K. Dobbins, of course, and Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor. I mean, there's a very deep class of running backs. You probably just don't look to start taking them until late round one, and then you could really get some value even into early day three with the kind of talent that is available at that position.
Josh, really good stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Josh Edwards, NFL draft writer for CBS Sports. Thanks so much for hopping on, man. We really appreciate your time.
Of course, guys. Anytime.